talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long time.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media from Madison, Waukesha, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, and soon lots of other places. Our lines are open. 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. We're going right to the phone lines to Jack of Milwaukee. My friend, thanks for going. What's on your mind today, Jack?
It's an honor to speak to a true patriot and a man who loves his country. I'd like to expand a little bit on what you mentioned earlier about these two lawyers, one that drafted the statement and the other one that actually signed it. Now, these are lawyers. They should know the law, and the law clearly states that these documents, this is the procedure, when a president leaves office, they're supposed to remain at the White House, and then from there, they're supposed to be transferred to what they call the National Archives. And my question is this. Now, to me, that looks like that's criminal willful intent to hide those documents. And if you're a lawyer, you should know this. That's my comment, and thank you for the airtime.
Yeah, Jack, you know, you're right on the money on that one. And let me tell you another thing about it as well. First of all, you're dead right. They're lawyers. They're assumed to know the law. That's why they're lawyers. And these documents can't leave the White House. And actually, they didn't even leave the White House. The SCI documents, the secure compartmented information, which can only be seen by a handful of people, including the president, and has to be at a secure location, can't even leave their secure location. If they are called to the White House to be reviewed, for instance, with Dwight Eisenhower, he went to another area. Biden and presidents in the modern era, because they travel so much, sometimes will order them, for instance, if they're on vacation at Camp David, bring them to Camp David. Guy shows up with a handcuff and a briefcase. They read them. They don't keep copies of them. They take them back. What Trump did was he would order them to come to the White House, and then he would tell them, okay, I'm going to hold on to them for a while myself. They didn't have the guts to say you can't do it. You know, what, are they going to get the attorney general to arrest them? I mean, you know what I mean? So they leave, and he took some of them on occasion up to his bedroom, and he'd take them around the White House. A woman who was a senior aide, Olivia, forget her last name, but she's a pretty solid citizen, to Pence. She's conservative. She said she went in the ladies' room. There's a classified document on a shelf right near the sink. I mean, you know, how bad is that? And so the guy was sloppy with them, but here there's intent. It's not just sloppiness. And the lawyers, whatever they thought it was, he deliberately had boxes packed, and he deliberately had them loaded on and taken to Mar-a-Lago. And now they may also be in Bedminster in New York and his kids' homes, and Alan Weisselberg's home. But in any event, these are not just mementos. These are compartmented secure information, the highest top secret designation. And that's usually reserved for things like who our actual foreign agents are in very dangerous enemy territory, which in this case is Moscow, Beijing, North Korea, Tehran, and Iran, and so on. Maybe among drug cartels. These people's lives are at risk. And also nuclear questions, especially the sites that we would attack and what sites we think they'll attack, which if released obviously gets everybody very upset. So this is the kind of stuff he took. Jack, my question is, why'd he take it? He didn't take it just for the heck of it. There are a lot of theories. He took it because if they prosecute him, he'll threaten to give them to Moscow unless they drop the charges. Another one, Moscow's already seen him. Vladimir Putin, by the way, put out a statement about 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, saying he's already seen these documents. He may have been lying to just get everybody jumbled up, but he may have been telling the truth. I don't know. But in any event, was he going to sell them? Keep them as some sort of a kryptonite that he can then wave around and get the government off his back? This is sick, very sick. And that's why 50% of people in this country think he should be prosecuted. 76% are following this very closely or somewhat closely. And two-thirds of the people in this country think that what was happened was wrong. That says something. That really says something. The second thing, though, about these lawyers, yeah, they're presumed to know this, but there's something else about a lawyer, even if they don't know the law. Lawyers in the rules of professional conduct have a duty of truthfulness and candor that is much higher than a layman's. In other words, a layman, somebody who's not a lawyer, can't lie under oath or can't lie to law enforcement. That's obstruction. That's a felony. But if they lie to people in individual business dealings, and it happens all the time, sadly, they have no character. It's wrong to do it, but it's not an offense. If a lawyer does something like that, you have a due deed of candor as well as truthfulness to the tribunal, to the other lawyers. If you lie to a judge, even if you lie to another lawyer, certainly if you lie to law enforcement, that's a felony. And if you lie to another lawyer or to the judge, that's a sanctionable, disciplinable event that you can be disciplined for that. Well, in this case, they told the FBI and the DOJ that these were all the documents. And this was in the manila envelope they gave on June 3rd. And they'd already given the 15 boxes. There were documents in that storeroom right near them that had not been turned over. That had not been turned over. And they knew that. And Christina Bob, who signed a document saying everything's been turned over, and she knew it hadn't been. And Evan Corcoran, the other lawyer, who's a target of a criminal investigation now, said all the documents were in the storeroom. And that was false, and he knew that. Some were in a dressing room up in the bridal suite. Some were on the in Trump's closet, in his desk, and in other areas of the basement. And how do I say... They said that, which was false, but they also knew it was false. Why do I say that? I say that because the FBI said, great, can we just look in the storeroom and make sure there's nothing else there? And they said no. They said no. If you're an innocent man, you think you're telling the truth, you don't say no. And they could say no because there was no search warrant at that time. That's why they went in for the search warrant. So whether maybe these were bad lawyers, maybe these were stupid lawyers. There are people like that. But as bad and stupid as they are, they have to know that under the rules of professional conduct, they have a duty of candor and they have a duty of truthfulness to the tribunal, which is the court, or the lawyers and law enforcement. And here they lied to law enforcement, which is a separate felony, by the way, for obstruction. So that's what's going on. Joanne of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. Joanne, what's on your mind today?
Yes, great show. I'm learning so much. But I have a question. Why are we printing out all of this important stuff? I mean, paper. I mean, I teach IT, and I'm thinking, aren't there easier ways of conveying this information and maybe, you know, like Snapchat or something like that, after a few seconds it can be disintegrated and all of that and not be in these 19th century documents that can only get us into trouble?
That is a really good question, and I had not thought about that before, but I'm glad you raised it, and I want to give you my snapshot response to that. Joanne is suggesting, you know, this isn't very 21st century. You know, you have these documents lying around saying, here are our agents in Moscow. Here are our agents in Tehran with the drug cartels, with Al-Qaeda, with North Korea, with Beijing. You know, accidents happen. People are crooked. People steal stuff. Why are we putting this on paper? That's a very good question. Here's my thought. First of all, with the Snapchat and all these instant disappearing apps and so forth, to be very honest with you, I'm sure there are techies out there who know more about this than I do. I've never been convinced that those are ironclad, that they actually do disappear. In other words, for the average person, they disappear. They would certainly disappear for me. But am I sure that there aren't techies at the CIA and the FSB, which is the successor to the KGB, who couldn't dig them out somehow. And I don't know the answer to that. But secondly, if you have an electronic communication, so, you know, our guy in Moscow is sitting in a basement somewhere and he taps in, Vladimir Putin's thyroid cancer is getting worse. His successor is going to be Ivan the Terrible or whatever. And he's a murderer. And you know, you get all this information. Can that be intercepted? Theoretically, under some circumstances, it could. The second thing I would say is that right now they will meet, you know, our undercover agents will meet with a source who, the, you know, nothing is written down, nothing. And there's no phone call and there's no Snapchat. And then the guy he passes it on to takes a plane as a tourist and he ends up in Europe somewhere and he meets with one of our guys and they pass it on verbally. Now, at what point does it get put on paper? I don't know the answer to that. I don't think it's written down right away, but it does eventually end up on paper back in Washington, D.C. And your question then is, could that be somehow what? I mean, you know, for instance, somewhere in the archives, we have documents that show who our agents in Moscow were in 1952 and 1954. Some people think that some of those documents may end up being of historic value. I'm less concerned about that. But at what point, if it's never reduced to paper, at what point is there some sort of record where an incoming president, and I'm not just talking about the names of agents, but I'm talking about nuclear sites and all that. I don't know a way other than having it in some permanently recordable form, and whether that's electronic or paper, that can be subject to theft or misuse by a guy like this. Joanne, I really appreciate your call. I hope you call in again. We're coming up to a break. We have Pizza Box Mike on the line. Pizza Box, I am going to get you right after the break. Do not come away, run away. Pizza Box is my co-host on Saturdays. He has a Pizza Box Mike great show on noon on Saturdays. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789.
Gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Do not hang up. I see all of you. Pizza Box Mike, my friend, we start with you. What's on your mind today, Pizza Box Mike?
Well, I'm going to say 18 months. Trump needs those original documents back because he's already sold the duplicates.
I mean, you are a jaundiced individual,
right.
As am I.
Well,
I think he has sold them.
He's got plans. Yeah, he's got plans. And those plans have been in action for a long time, right? Pretty much his evil ass, his whole life has been doing that. But I just want to put a plug in for this weekend. I've got two veteran nurses that are going to come on my show at noon on Saturday and tell the story about this strike that's coming up on Monday.
That is a great thing, everybody. Pizza Box Mike has a must-listen-to show at noon on Saturdays on this station, and he's going to have two people from the nurses' union. We strongly support the nurses. Nurses are underpaid, they're overworked, and they deserve a union. We're with them 100%, and so is Pizza Box Mike, and you've got to listen to that show. Pizza Box, thanks for calling in. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend, you're next. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Gene?
Good morning, Matt. Another day, another crime. I just can't keep up with it. I hope somebody would put up a website that's very talented in the tech area and start from the day that Trump was inaugurated and go from there, all the different people that he put into office that had shady characters and on and on and on and on and on. So I don't think this guy is, somebody that you can trust what they have to say. And I do really believe that he needs to be held accountable as soon as possible. And all of those people, Trump never, ever would have been able to pull this off without those Republicans by his side. covering up aiding and abetting, and they're still doing it. And they all need to be held accountable, too. We need to clean house so that we can trust our government again. I mean, you know, we all have complaints, and nobody's perfect. But I'll tell you something. You were right on Biden. He is the perfect man for this job. He has so much experience. He's always been a fighter for the people. He's the real deal. And we need somebody with honesty and integrity like he has. They keep trying to throw in Hunter Biden. That's such BS. Let's look at all of the Trump kids. Man, all of them should be investigated for all the crap they were pulling and all the things that they had seen. I mean, it's just nuts in throwing out all this different thing. Oh, the IRS agents are going to come and get us. Give me a break. We'd have to hire that many IRS agents to check into all the BS that Trump did his entire life. Give me a break. They're not going to be going after us. So anyway, I had to give my 2 cents worth. Oh, and I have to say one more thing. If there's anybody technologically experienced, God darn it, when I go on YouTube on my iPad, I get all these ads against Mandela Barnes, and it's nuts. They got Mandela Barnes in a suit, you know, saying that he didn't pay his taxes and all this BS, and they got him in a suit. He don't wear a suit all the time. What the devil's the matter with him? The only people that wear suits that don't pay their taxes are people like Trump. You know, a lot of people have problems with their taxes and, you know, right. And pain.
No, Gene, here's the thing. I love your passion. I want to throw in an endorsement of Mandela Barnes. I know Mandela Barnes. We're friends. I've known him here in Milwaukee a long time. He's a good man. He's an honest man. So when you see these ads, remember my grandma's dictum to me, where she once said, Matt, believe nothing of what you hear and half of what you see. And a lot of stuff gets slightly photoshopped. A lot of stuff gets misstated on purpose, and it's wrong. And so Mandela Barnes will be a fine senator. He'll be a great senator. He's honest as the day is long. He'll do the right thing, and he will be a good vote in the U.S. Senate. So vote for Mandela Barnes. This stuff is all baloney. Gene, thanks for calling in. Dick of Madison, my friend, you're next. What's up, Dick?
Hard to follow Gene. She's always great. And right on to everything she said. Are you as cynical as I am about this special master? If it goes that direction, I'm afraid he can put a fork in this whole thing. Here's why. If we were to lose the House, you know what they're going to do. They're going to shut all of this type of thing down. I honestly think this is the biggest joke ever. They find this another little loophole in this thing. There's no need whatsoever for this special master, in my opinion. It's just something to string it out a little longer. And, you know, one good thing I've seen this week is that now the RNC has finally pulled the plug on his legal defense. We'll see if he actually spends some of that money he's been bringing in piles and piles on his own legal defense. But I'm really suspect of this special master.
Well, here's the deal. You're not going to believe that. Well, first of all, yeah, they have pulled the plug on paying his Mar-a-Lago fees, but they have not pulled the plug. They're still paying his fees for the Letitia James investigation in New York and other lawsuits against him. And you're not going to believe this. Taxpayers are paying his fees to defend himself against Gene Carroll's rape allegation. And I say, why the heck is that? He was alleged to have raped her before he was president. And they go, he's a president and they're going after him, so we should pay his legal fees. And this guy has gotten away with murder. This guy has dodged raindrops all his life. But you're absolutely right in the special master. This is an illegitimate lawsuit. This judge doesn't have jurisdiction. She's a Trumper. She only got the job because Trump appointed her. She's not qualified. She comes from an authoritarian culture, and she herself is obedient to the strong man. Judge Reinhardt is the one who signed the search warrant. If they want a special master, he's a federal judge, a magistrate judge. They should have asked him. They start a new lawsuit to get a Trump judge who the fix will be in. Now, she has no right to see the copies of the documents that have our agents in Moscow and Beijing. And neither does a special master who's usually somebody the judge knows, either from law school or some local. So what kind of security clearance do they have? They have no right to see who our nuclear targets are in Russia. They have no right to see them whatsoever. It can be appealed, but the 11th Circuit, the Circuit Court of Appeals, is pro-Trump, and so is the U.S. Supreme Court. The Republican Party is using non-elected people to destroy our democracy. Lines are open. We're going to break. 844-967-2789. I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. Back after the break. Matt Flynn, Director. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Robert of West Allis, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Money today, Robert. Yeah, you cut out, Robert. Okay, when we get you back, we will put you on. Look forward to talking to you, my friend. Look forward to talking with you. We just got a call in from Northwoods Terry. My friend Northwoods Terry. And he just wanted to report that there is a big sign on the side of the road on the highway leading into Ladysmith that says Trump for prison. Not Trump for president, Trump for prison. And Northwoods Terry wanted to call that in. Thank you very much, Northwoods Terry. Well, we have a breaking story. We have a breaking story that I found hard to believe, but here's what it is. Remember the fake electors, 10 of them falsely said that they were the electors from Wisconsin? And they were going into, it was sent into the archives and to the Senate. Remember that? And remember that Ron Johnson, chief of staff, got a list of the Michigan fake electors and then tried to get Pence's chief of staff to accept them to make sure that he, on January 6th, accepted those as the real electors from Michigan and Wisconsin. Now, first of all, how did Trump, I should say, how did Ron Johnson get hold of the Michigan? Why Michigan? I mean, Ron Johnson doesn't represent Michigan, but Michigan has two Democratic senators, so they're using Ron Johnson. Then Johnson tried to wiggle out of it, said he didn't know anything about it. Then he said, well, I was, quote, only involved for a few seconds. I sent three tweets and I received two. Okay, great. So what? What? I only stabbed the victim three times, and so I was only in a few seconds? Come to find out that Ron Johnson has on his payroll one of the fake electors in his campaign right now against Mandela Barnes. Her name is Pam Travis. She has been paid $10,200 since April, and she's gotten $3,500 in mileage reimbursement since April. She is former vice chair of the 7th Congressional District Republican Party, Pam Travis, one of the 10 fake electors. One of the 10 fake electors. This sickness has penetrated the Republican Party because it turns out that another fake elector, Andrew Hitt, H-I-T-T, he's the former chair of the Republican Party, was the campaign chairman for Adam Jarko, who was a candidate for attorney general, almost won, beaten in the primary by Eric Toney of Fond du Lac, who's much more moderate. But there he was. There's a fake elector as the chairman of an attorney general campaign. And then the chairman of the La Crosse County Republican Party, Bill Feehan, was on the advisory committee to Rebecca Clayfish, who was beaten by Tim Michaels. So you have three fake electors have penetrated into the bowels of the Republican campaigns. And one of them, you know, Rebecca Clayfish lost, or Feehan would be on the advisory council or the advisory board to their nominee. Adam Jarko lost, but not by a lot. And his chairman was another fake elector. But right now, Ron Johnson is the candidate for the Republican Party, and Pam Travis, a fake elector, former vice chair of the 7th Congressional District Republican Party, is being paid by him. So when Ron Johnson goes, oh, well, I was only involved for 3 seconds, a couple of seconds, I sent three tweets and I got two tweets back. Well, he didn't do three tweets and get two back in 3 seconds, first of all. But secondly, so what? If you stab a guy, it takes 1 second, still murder. But, and he's saying, I know nothing about the fake electors. He hires one. She's working for him as I'm speaking. As I'm speaking, she's getting a paycheck. Pam Travis, fake collector. We're going to the lines. Robert of West Allis, my friend. Thanks for going. What's your mind today, Robert?
A few things. I'll be real quick. It's not for Ron Johnson to decide. All these people need to be hauled in front of the committee, whether it's Marjorie Taylor Greene, Josh Hawley, Lauren Boebert, the whole group of them. We'll never really have this full picture of what happened leading up to January 6th unless they get these people out there and get some testimony from them. The second thing is the special masters, total nonsense. If we think about executive privilege, doesn't really apply to documents that he sold from the government that he wasn't supposed to have. And then if we think of Michael Cohen, when he claimed it, he did it immediately, and it was to protect privilege between other clients. It wasn't documents that he stole legally that he wasn't supposed to have. So that's just ridiculous. And if you look at what the Trump lawyer's response was, they still have not validated two things. One, why? What purpose did he have the documents for? And then they lied. They said that they provided everything. Well, how did they go into his office and find him in his desk, sitting in his office in a box full of documents, if they really looked and found everything? So if Trump, you know, doesn't get indicted, surely the attorneys who lied and signed off on everything should. The third thing I want to mention real quick is Jackson, Mississippi. Once again, we're seeing Republican failure. You know, 180,000 people without water, you know, and, you know, they don't have enough water to fight fires or flush toilets or to drink. And once again, if we look back at it, what is it? It's underinvestment in infrastructure. You know, because of tax cuts or whatever it is, you know, Republicans always want to say these cities are failing. But if we look across states across the country, there's massive amounts of money that they're holding in the coffers. But, you know, there's no free lunch just because we want tax cuts. You know, we can't keep kicking this infrastructure stuff down the road. Right, everything right. They touch, whether it's the power grid in Texas last year and the failure there, failure in the school system in Florida and Texas. So, you know, I hope people keep that in mind. When they vote for these guys in the fall, they're voting for corruption, they're voting for illegality, they're voting for extreme positions, and they're voting for incompetence.
Excellent points, Robert, as always. Thank you very much for calling, and I agree with you 100%. Joe of Madison, my friend, you're next. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Joe?
I was impressed and feel that you should return to this sentence again and again. In one of the previous segments, you used the sentence that non-elected people are destroying our democracy. And I think you can return to this again and again as a thread that is going through our country right at this moment. And the faked elector story that you focus time on and the tie to Ron Johnson is a perfect example. Fake electors, okay? They're taking our votes and seeking to have them destroyed. That's absolutely against democracy. I would offer another example out of Michigan. Apparently, they had a citizen initiative ballot that was looking to enshrine the right to abortion within the state constitution. And people had gone out to get signatures, you know, which is can there be a better example of something that people, the citizens want to have? They submitted over 146,000 signatures, more than they needed. It was well over 500,000 signatures that they had gathered to have this initiative put on the ballot for November. So this has been slammed by a group called, not the Bureau of Elections, but it is the State Board of State Canvassers. It's two Democrats and two Republicans. It's deadlocked. And the reason that they chose, the Republicans said that you can't have this initiative on the ballot, and I am not kidding, is that the petition's lack of spacing between words. Note that the Michigan election law is, quote, silent on the amount of space that must be between letters and words in a petition. So that's where we are. You know, the two Republicans on this board are able to slam the desire of over 500,000 people within the state of Michigan who cared enough about this to put it on the ballot, to put it to a vote, to allow the citizens of that state to be able to say we do or we don't want abortion rights to be reproductive rights to be enshrined in our state constitution. I would urge you to return to that sentence that you've had, which is non-elected people are destroying our democracy, because it feels like every week there are examples of that. Thanks a lot, Matt. I appreciate the opportunity to speak. Thanks.
Joe, I really appreciate your calling, as always. You're right on the money. And when I say non-elected people, people who are elected frequently are mealy-mouthed, and you know, they sort of say, oh, I might be for you. But it's election commissioners. Now, that should have been immediately appealed to the Michigan Supreme Court. But delays are slow, and a lot of these judges are Republicans. And in addition to the abortion issue in Michigan, in Florida, the people overwhelmingly voted for a constitutional amendment that said that once you finish your prison term, you can vote. And that would have enfranchised a lot of people. The Republican judges down there said, well, but you also have to pay off your fines. Well, everybody who's convicted is fined a certain amount of money, whether it's 10, 20, 30, 40 grand. All of these people are destitute when they come out of prison. They can't even find jobs. So effectively, there's nothing in the referendum that said that. And the judges just imposed it. You have judges, election commissioners, you have electors, fake electors. The complicit are some senators like Ron Johnson. And it is slowly destroying our democracy. Something similar occurred in Berlin in the 1930s. We've got to stand tall against it. Joe, thanks for calling in. Mark of the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind today, Mark.
Hey, one thing occurs to me, because Joel brought to mind for her comment on the, and or you brought to mind on the thing that happened down in Florida. Doesn't that become a poll tax? Essentially, become a poll tax? To me, it's irrelevant whether it's part of their sentence. It effectively becomes a poll tax, which is illegal under United States law. There's not supposed to be any poll taxes in this country, because so these judges are instituting a poll tax that. And getting these fake electors. Josh Call, we just need to say no. Enough of this. We do not need to worry about all the little niceties here, because the guys who did this, they committed these crimes, they don't care about niceties. They don't care about the Constitution. They don't care about the rule of law. They violated the law, and they figured they'd be able to get away with it. And it's time just to come down on them with both feet, and just arrest them. These people are getting hired, by Republican operatives after they've committed this crime. But they're part of the crime family prior to them getting these jobs. They're part of the crime family now when they decide to become fake electors. I mean, that they're aiding and abetting the overthrow of the United States government, the peaceful transition of power. Trump never intended to transfer power to Joe Biden, because they dragged their feet on the traditional practice we have of a transition period, where the president who's leaving office is making sure the president who is coming into office is prepped with all the information needed. Trump dragged his feet on that the entire time. He did not intend on leaving office. And it's time that all these people are able to, they don't care about democracy, like you've said. They do not care about democracy. They don't believe in democracy. They're like the people who opposed to the Constitution in the first place. I mean, Hamilton said there's people who are opposed to a general, to a national government, and they simply want to drag us back to where we're just a collection of federated states that were, basically ready to go to war with one another, because that's what was going on in this country in the 1780s. I mean,
In addition to that, very, very good comments, but in addition to that what's going on, let me give you an example. Believe it or not, and this is a sneaky way that these states can do it. You know what Mississippi is doing right now, everybody? Mississippi now is saying they are going to tax the loan forgiveness that Biden just put in for students. So 10 grand, 20 grand.
So is Wisconsin.
They're going to tax it. Pardon me?
So is Wisconsin.
So is Wisconsin going to do that too?
Yeah, there was 13 states originally that would tax such loan forgiveness. And in the last week since that Biden administration announcement came down, 7 of the 13 said that they would not tax it. Wisconsin is still one of the 6 that will tax the student loan relief that is coming, unless the Republican-led legislature makes a change, which doesn't seem like they're going to.
Well, then I would encourage Tony Evers, you know, Tony Evers can only do so much after lame duck. I mean, Tony Evers, but Voss is sort of like Mississippi. And I think that is scandalous. Just to get a jab at Biden for doing loan forgiveness, they tax it. That's what's happening in this country. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Back, Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Good morning, Matt. As always, a great, great show. I just love the callers. I'll be listening to your show, Pizza Box, on Saturday. That's a big deal with the nurses at the UW. But there's a couple things about Johnson. Number one, he does not want Social Security. Doesn't want it. Never been for the Affordable Care Act. But when you go to the pandemic, he actually, my belief is, he actually had people die because of his stances on the pandemic. Did not believe in science, and he was talking about ivermectin, which is a, I think I said that right, which is a horse wormer. But Johnson's just bad news, and I don't know if, Mandela Barnes is going to go negative on him, but if he does, he's got lots of ammunition. So Johnson, people, Johnson has to go. He is not for the working man. He's not for Social Security. Just bad news, or education for that matter. Thanks, Matt. Have a great day.
Yeah, you're right. And you know what Wisco Paul is saying is Ron Johnson has called Social Security a Ponzi scheme. That's what the Republicans said in 1935 when they opposed Franklin Roosevelt's legislation to pass Social Security in the first place, because what happens is benefits are paid by current wage earners and then they're paid by future wage earners. The difference, though, is this is the government that set this up as essentially a government pension, and it's funded that way, and it's not a Ponzi scheme. Ponzi scheme refers to a guy named Charles Ponzi, who back 100 years ago set up a deal where he would promise people very high returns. They'd send them money, he'd steal it and spend it. And then when some of them want to be repaid, he'd use new money to pay him back. That was not the government. It was not thought out, not funded, and it's not backed by the full faith and credit of the United States. But it's dangerous. People want to get rid of Social Security so that they can take that money for tax cuts. They already got a $1 trillion tax cut. That would give them another couple of trillion. He also, then he said, I'll privatize it. Everybody can pay into like a 401k type thing. And it'll be invested with what? With Goldman Sachs or J.P. Morgan or one of these people that hard high fees. They short stocks. They deal in swaptions. They deal in different kinds of securities. And if the market's doing great, fine. And if it doesn't, they still get paid. No, that's not what we want. You want to make sure your check, I don't care if it's $1,100 a month, $900 a month, $2,000 a month, it comes in. Regardless of the stock market, you've got to stick to that. And then when it comes to Medicare, he's the guy that said he thinks that Medicare, first of all, the ages for all this stuff should be raised. And secondly, that it should be privatized, that the government should put aside a fund of 10 grand for you and you have to buy private insurance. Well, private insurance for 10 grand, you're going to get exclusions. You're going to get a tax on pre-existing conditions, even if they remove pre-existing conditions. There's other ways around it. When was the last time you had a dispute with an insurance company and you won? The only time was if you had a lawyer relative of some sort who spent a lot of time fighting them. They have great resources. You do not want Medicare based on a private policy that you buy. You simply don't want it. You can get that as a supplement, and you should get it as a supplement. But you got to get the core thing. If you need surgery or you need some medical care, you need it. He is attacking both of them. So did Rick Scott, the chairman of the Republican Senate Campaign Committee, the guy in Florida, senator, who took the fifth in a in a Medicare fraud investigation involving his company. His company paid the largest fine in history, well over $1 billion, for Medicare fraud. He was the CEO. He goes, I refused to answer on the grounds that might incriminate me. They didn't charge him. And then he runs for governor of Florida and then Senate, gets elected to both. Apparently, they don't care? I don't know. You know, if you think that they couldn't get more extreme, I'm going to leave you with the New Hampshire Senate race. Maggie Hassan, the Democrat, is excellent, but she's considered vulnerable. And right now she is tied in the polls. And for some reason, she's underwater on approval. So we got to be careful about that race. Anyway, there's a guy named Don Bolduc, B-O-L-D-U-C. He's a very right-wing retired general. He's a Republican. In the polls, their primary is coming up, but he's at 32%, and he's in double digits higher than anybody else. He's going to be the nominee. And listen to what he says. He wants to abolish the direct election of senators. You wouldn't be able to vote for senator. The legislature would. Voss would pick the senators. That was true up until about 1912, and there's a constitutional amendment, and he wants to get rid of that. He wants to abolish the 17th Amendment, repeal it. The governor of that state is also a Republican, Chris Sununu. He publicly called Chris Sununu a Chinese communist sympathizer, the incumbent governor of his own party. His other point was he'll eliminate the FBI. He was one of the people of retired generals who signed a letter saying that Trump won the election and Biden is illegitimate. Biden is illegitimate. Chris Sununu, the governor, said that Bolduc is a conspiracy theorist nominee. This is great. He also denounced the bill on soft infrastructure that lets the government negotiate bulk rates to lower drug prices. And here's what he said, quote, anything the government is involved in, it's not good, it doesn't work. Hey, General, the government is involved by paying for the drugs, saying that that's good involvement, but they can't negotiate with the drug company for bulk discounts is absurd. I don't think you understand, General, who's paying for those drugs. Who's paying for those drugs? And I'll tell you what. There's a woman out there named Kelly Patenis. She is supporting Baldus. She is a Republican activist out there. And here's what she said. Chris Sununu, the Republican incumbent governor, is a globalist clown and is not a Republican. So that's what you have in New Hampshire in the Republican Party. If you think, well, New Hampshire probably has a moderate Republican Party, Chris Sununu is a moderate, but he opted not to run for Senate and he's running again for governor. You know, I'll support a Democrat against him, but at least he supposedly is somewhat moderate. But you have a clown running against him who's ahead in the polls and is certainly going to be the nominee, who called him a Chinese communist sympathizer, and his supporter called him Sununu a globalist clown and is not a Republican. And then you got the guy wants to eliminate the FBI, said Trump won, Biden's illegitimate, and the government can't negotiate drug prices because you don't want the government involved, even though the government's paying for the drugs. This is sick. We're coming to the end of the show. It's a great show. Great call-ins as always. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.